Thank you, choir. Thank you, Tom, for these 4 years now of leadership. Wow. Starting four. All right. Thank you so much for your gracious leadership and the good music that we've enjoyed to lift our hearts toward the Lord. That kind of pales in the light that Ann and I have been with you folks here at Big Spring Baptist Church for about 18 months now. Was just thinking the other day, several people have asked us outside the church, across the city, the county, and a few in the church. They've said, well, what is Big Spring Church like? What are the people like there? And I said, well, some of the folks like the thermostat on 69, and some of them want it on 75. Some like the music loud, and some like the music soft. Some like to clap their hands and raise their hands, and some like to just hold their hands together. You know, the thing I've noticed about Big Spring Baptist Church is that we are all different. We're different. But the one thing that we have, that I have observed, is that we've learned to accept our differences, as long as they honor Christ. In other words, we have homothumadon. You say, what is that? Well, it's in the Bible. Look it up. If you turn to the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You said, I thought that homothumadon was in the Bible. It is. Actually, that is the Bible word there. Let me read it like this. I'll substitute that word. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all homothumadon in one place. They were all united together. They take one word and make the whole thing united together in one accord. They weren't thinking of themselves. They weren't thinking of others. They weren't thinking of me or you or us. They were thinking of Him, of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit of God was with them and united them together, and they were all of one accord, with one mind. They had their differences, but they had different motives perhaps, but their love for one another grew, and they were united together, and the Bible says they had homothumadon. The larger and more active a church becomes in ministry and mission, the more important unity becomes. Homothumadon is unity, being in one accord. A good example of that, I think, is in your church program this morning. If you haven't read it already, you can pull it out and read it across the top there where it says that Big Spring Baptist Church last Sunday voted unanimously, that's with one accord, with homothumadon, for the adoption of a new budget for the year, for a revision of bylaws and a revision of the constitution of the church. And the whole church together was of one accord. They had unity. That's what that first century church had. And I'm praying that very shortly now, the Lord willing, your pastor search committee will come back here to you, and they will bring you a report that in their praying and searching and studying about the need for a pastor for the long term of ministry here at Big Spring, that they have found someone like that. And I can tell you this from my contact with them, though I haven't met with them in those meetings, I can tell you that when they come to you, they're going to have homothumadon. They're going to be together, one mind. They'll be united. They're not going to come back unless they have that. And I'm praying then that once that search team comes back to you and God has led them there, that once again you will think about this church in that first century and that the church together can join with them in homothumadon, in unity, and one accord. And why is that so important? Well, for a number of things, because the larger a church becomes and the more active it is in pursuing the ministry and mission of Christ, the unity of the church is at stake. It's the important thing. It's what's really there. I heard about a preacher once who was encountering some resistance to his ministry in a church, and in particular, there was a lady in the church who just didn't always agree with him and what he had to say, so one day he decided that he would just go out to her house and they would just work this thing out together, you know. Went out to the house and he knocked on the door, you know, loudly, and no one came to the door. After a moment or two, he thought, well, you know, there's no one here. He started to walk away from the house, and he looked and just caught a glimpse of that lady in the window. She was at home. So he went back and he knocked louder, you know, and just kept on knocking, and she didn't come to the door. Finally, he saw a keyhole, rather large keyhole in the door, so he just got down on one knee and he peeped through that keyhole, and to his surprise, the lady was peeping through on the other side. He just blurted out, well, this is the first time you and I have ever seen things eye to eye. Homothumadon is not seeing things necessarily eye to eye. We have our differences. The church in Acts 2 was concerned about relationships. They were concerned about relationships that were broken. You will observe, if you move on over to chapter 6 in the book of Acts, that there were times when the church had extreme differences, but the church didn't choose sides. They didn't form small groups. They didn't form small closed groups. They took steps to promote unity and harmony, and homothumadon reigned in that church. Acts 6 is a good example of it. There were some widows in the church, some people in the church, and widows among them. Some of them were Greek-speaking, and then there was another group who were Hebrew-speaking or Jewish in background. And somehow in the daily distribution of food that was going on in the church, the Greek-speaking widows got left out. Now, whether it was intentional or whether it was accidental, that's not the a problem was created. And the pastors, the apostles who were there in the church, they went to the church body. And you have to remember, this church is in one accord. And they said to them, we've got a problem here. Even churches with one accord will occasionally have a problem. They said, we need to deal with this. And so you folks choose out 7 men among you and give them the responsibility of working this thing out. And so that's how we came about with our first deacons who were chosen to do that. And evidently they did a good job, because you never read about this problem again in that first century church in Jerusalem. Because the church was united, they had unity. That's homothumadon at work. If we encounter a problem, we work together, we take care of it. On another occasion, in that Acts 2 church, there was extreme persecution in the church, and they were being pressured and a lot of stress was being brought upon the church by the community around them, so much so that the people had great needs in the church in Jerusalem. And Paul, a later disciple of and missionary among the church, sent out to the churches that were in Asia and across the Europe that he was coming to visit them. He was going to receive an offering for the church back in Jerusalem. And I want you to listen to this beautiful example of harmony and unity that was in those churches, not only in Jerusalem, but out from that place as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote these words regarding what his request. According to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, they not only saw the need, met the need, but their giving was sacrificial, and there was enough to meet all of the needs of the people. It came from their heart. That's unity. That's being in one accord. That's homothumadon. And when you look back over the past 800 years of the life of Big Spring Baptist Church. I've been here long enough to examine that and look at it. The first 80 years, I can tell you, and you know as well, and it won't be long until you'll have that book in print. I'm sure it's well underway now to have a history of this. Those first 80 years particularly were marked with a dramatic growth in numbers of people here in this church. The church increased. Buildings were built and bought and brought. People were brought together. And there was just a real outpouring of blessing upon Big Spring Baptist Church. But if you look at the last 20 years of the church, though, you can see some difference in that. And you say, well, what was the difference? I mean, how was the church just going up, 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 and out, 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 and then now it's just kind of where we are at this point? And I want to tell you, it was because those churches in that early time had this homothumadon. They had synergism, which is another form of unity. And boys and girls, you're listening to this, you know, it's synergy. They had synergy. Synergism is what happens when two or more people work together. Some time ago, I gave you an illustration. It's one of my favorites. Pardon me for just repeating it again, but up in Canada, they have some interesting ways of doing things, some traditions. One of their traditions is to have a horse pull. That is, they load a sled with a lot of weight, and they hitch a horse to it and see which horse can pull the most weight. One horse managed to pull 9,000 pounds. That's as much as, two or three cars. He's pulled that. One horse was able to pull 9,000 pounds. The closest runner-up was a horse that pulled 8,000 pounds. Now do the math. How much is that together? Quickly. 17,000, wrong. They hitched those two horses together, and they pulled 30,000 pounds, almost double what they had done, were able to do it singly. That's synergism. That's unity on steroids. That's what happens when you take what one person can do, they do their thing, and one person can do, and they do their thing, and one committee works and does its thing, and another committee works and does its thing, and then you take them all and you put them all together, and you nearly double what they can do. Synergism. And I think, I'm a historian by major in my training in the background, but I think that I would say that in those first 80 years of the life of Big Spring Baptist Church, synergism was taking place. Now, somehow we've let that slip, and we've got some talented people doing things here and doing things there. What we need now is homothumadon, and we need synergism. We need that to work together in the way that happens when pastors and ministers and staff work together, and deacons work together, and teachers work together, and committees work together, and the members of the congregation work together. And when you've got that synergy, then folks, look out. The result is going to be, it is going to happen. In those days, in that early, those years, and here in this early church, they weren't thinking about me. They weren't thinking about you. They weren't thinking about us. They were thinking about Him, about the Holy Spirit of God. And the key thought for us to remember is unity is not about me. It is not about you. It's about Him. Some of you are probably Olympic fans. You're getting ready for the Olympics these days. And how many of you have been watching a few of the trials? You've seen the trials? Yeah, you'll get into more of this. you certainly won't remember this, but back in 1992, we sent a team of basketball players over to the Olympics. And when they came back, they just blew away the opposition. You'll understand why, because on that team was Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, David Robinson, not our David, but another one, and two or three other talented people. But what happened over there, it wasn't their individual ability, but that team was, they call them the dream team because they just worked together. They had unity. There was homothumadon. There was synergy. And that's what was happening in that early church in Jerusalem. It was a dream team. They had pastors. They had deacons. They had members. And they had unity through the Holy Spirit. And the church just blew the world away. In fact, later writing in the book of Acts chapter 17 verse 6, here was the complaint that came from the community. They said, those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. I mean, that's what we pray is going to happen here in Big Spring and Wildwood Community and Cleveland and in Bradley County through the working of God's Spirit in this church. Folks, it's going to happen. It's going to happen again. God is looking for people who are not looking, who are not thinking about me, who are not thinking about you, not thinking about us and them, but they're thinking about Him. Unity. It's not about me. Some of you who know me a little bit better, you know that I am a fan of American Idol. I really get excited during the trials times because I like to watch as people come before a panel of judges, and they're thinking, you know, I've got the best voice in America. And obviously they don't, because many of them can't even carry it. They can't even carry the tune, and if they had it, they couldn't deliver it. I mean, it, you know, and so I don't know. Maybe there's something strange about me, but that just kind of gets to me there as I watch that. Because here are people, you would think, here are folks who think, it's all about me. And sometimes the mothers who are outside and the fathers, they're the same way. They're thinking it's about all about their children. But when they aren't chosen for the next round and when they're sent home, many of them just burst into tears and they get all ruffled and angry and all those things. And I don't like that part of it, but anyway, it happens to them. Why? Because that's the danger of focusing upon ourselves and not focusing upon Him. You see, unity is not only not thinking about ourselves, but about me or you. Unity is not thinking about us. Us. A key characteristic of a church is unity, but differences are essential even in unity. You have to understand this now. Let's suppose this morning that we wanted to form a church here, and we've got several members to choose from here, and let's just say that we all decide that what we're going to do is we're going to make all the members like one other person. We'll make them like Brother Tom over here because he sings so well, and we're going to all have all singers. Then who's going to play for us? I don't know. We're singers. You know, we wouldn't have Jerry. we wouldn't have our drummer. We wouldn't have our guitarist. We just have a bunch of a cappellas, and then Tom here sings only in one range, and so we'd all be baritones, you know, or something of that nature. We wouldn't have any tenors, and we wouldn't have any sopranos, because we're all the same. No, folks, unity doesn't mean that we all are alike. It means that we're different. We're not meant to be alike. Scripture tells us that. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 and 19. It says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as it pleases Him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? In other words, the significance of a body is defined by its purpose. What you do as a body defines who you are. We have different ministries and different gifts, and God places us in the body. We're not all alike, but in the grace of God, He can take all of our differences and put us together. And we can vote on a budget, and we can vote on a constitution, we can vote on various things, even the calling of a pastor, and we can be together. Unity. Homothumadon. When you have that, you have synergy, and you have things happening that really change things. Some of you may be Civil War buffs, and you probably know this. I didn't. I learned this. Did you know that the Confederate Army had a secret weapon that flopped? It failed. You know what it was? Someone on the Confederacy and the Army invented a double-barrel cannon. They put a cannonball in one barrel, put a cannonball in the other barrel, put a long chain in between, linking the two barrels together. And then they would fire that barrel, those barrels, and the idea was that the cannonballs would spread out, the chain would be between them, and they could wipe out a whole troop, army of people down through here with just one shot. You know why it failed? Because they never could get the contraption to fire together. They wound up shooting themselves. And you know, there's a parallel to the church in that sort of thing. When one member or one small group decides to do its own thing without considering the others, the effort flops. But the church there in Acts, through the Holy Spirit's leadership, was able to work together, each person. And God bless them and bless that church too, as we read about it. When a small group of us gather, our beginning, our identity, our purpose, our meaning, our significance, and our destiny only makes sense if it's about God. It's not about us. Every Bible class, every small group, every music group, every church team is made for His satisfaction, not for my satisfaction or your satisfaction or our satisfaction. It's for Him. We can't use God for our own satisfaction. He gives us that unity. We don't find fulfillment and unity by ourselves. The Bible says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will, for my sake, will find it. Another translation of that simply says this: self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, God's way, to finding yourself, your true self. In other words, the Bible isn't a self-help book. The Bible is not a self-help book. It's a book about finding God and seeing what God does in our lives to give us the right motive, the right purpose, the right activities. It's about Him. And that is the final key thought. Unity is about Him, about the Holy Spirit. And when you read about that early church there, that they were all together in one accord, you go down and read a few verses along, and you discover that the power of God's Spirit came upon them. One of these days, we're going to stand before God, and we're going to give an audit of ourselves to God. Scripture tells us that we will give account of ourselves. In other words, there's going to be a final exam. There will be a final exam. And the Bible says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. You know what the good news is? God wants you and me both to pass the exam. So to ensure that we pass the exam, God has already given us the two questions that are going to be on the exam. I'm going to share them with you right now. You can start practicing right now. First question. The question God will ask is this: what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? Did you make him first in your life? Did you put him first in your life? He's not going to ask you how many good deeds you did or how many things you accomplished. He's just simply going to ask you, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? In all that you did, where was he? What did you consider about him? You see, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How you answer that question will determine where you will spend eternity. Now, the second question is this. What did you do with what I gave you? First of all, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? Secondly, what did you do with what I gave you? With your gifts, with your abilities, with your energy, your relationships, your resources? Did you spend them on yourself? Did you spend them on those who were important and significant to you? Wrong decision. They were given for us to return them to God and for His glory. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about Him. What did we do with them? In that early church, they determined that what they had and what they were, they would give to Christ. And they surrendered their will to God's will. And when you read the story of that early church and the churches that sprang up from them out from that time, they were of one mind. They had homothumadon. They said, you know, this is not exactly what I like, or this is not exactly what I want, but, you know, let's do this together. God said to them, whatever you do, stand together. Remember the children here? They could pull a weight across a line if they stood together. So can we. Well, let me just say, I was talking to a man this week, and I said to him, let me ask you, if you have peace with God, do you know for certain you have a home in God's heaven? You're ready for that time you'll stand before God? And he said to me, well, he said, I haven't done too many bad things. I think God will let me into his heaven. I said, well, you know, I don't have that same feeling for myself. I'm afraid that that's not what I would say if I were standing before God. I think I would have to say to God, I don't deserve to be in your heaven, not by what I've done. But I know you love me. And I know you love me so much that you came to this earth in the form of your son Jesus, and he took my sin upon himself, the wrong things I have done and my failures, things I should have done and didn't do. And he died in my place on the cross. And I ask you to forgive me for my sin and to give me the right standing of Jesus who died in my place. That's what I would ask him. And that's my question this morning to you as we kind of draw close to what we're here about. Whatever we do, we need to do it together. Wherever we go, we need to be together in it. We need to express our different views and our gifts and our giftedness and our wants and doing it together and allow the Spirit of God to lead this church, and I'm sure in time he'll fill that blank spot for our pastor who will be with us also to lead us through this time. And most of all, that we'll be prepared to say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. He's my Savior. And all that he's given me, I have surrendered to him. It's his, and I give it to him. It's not about me. It's about him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the testimony of your Spirit in your church and the homothumadon that exists when we're together and the synergy that takes place, the unity that allows us to experience the joy of heaven on earth in our lives in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. I pray for those today who would make that choice, their choice, to put Jesus first in their lives and follow him wherever he leads. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing our last song this morning, I want you to have an opportunity to step out and say to Christ and in your heart to God, say today, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give my heart and my life to Him. Let this be that time when you make that choice and decision. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. I follow Him. Wherever He leads, I will go. Let's stand together as we sing, and you come as we sing together.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust You and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust You and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my